using my Icon 746, and I'm using about 50 watts. About 50 watts. The SWRs ain't like the normal, so I could get 100, but I'm doing about 50, 55 watts. But, nah, you can't be shy, man. You gotta jump in it. My etiquette ain't even good. I can't even speak real English, so, you know, if I was worried about that, I would have never gotten a hobby. Roger that.
Yeah, we got people in here from all kinds of different walks of life. A bunch of them are ex-military. A whole bunch of them. Lots and lots. A massive percentage of ham radio is ex-military. So if any of y'all brand new people into the hobby happen to be ex-military, you already have a lot in common with a lot of the people on here. So feel free to hop on in here and start talking. You'll find out. And I'm not ex-military. My grandfather served, but he is no longer. And I had my other grandfather. He was never in the military, but he spent well over half of his career contracted out as an engineer working for military projects. So he was affiliated with the military, even though he wasn't in it. So that was pretty neat. Well, he wasn't able to talk much about what he did because it was all intel type stuff. But I got to hear some of the things that he worked on. He engineered projects, and the projects that he was allowed to talk about were pretty interesting. So I liked that. And other than that, just get on here and talk. If you have a question about anything, somebody has an answer. So I'm hoping we get more new hams in here sometime. That would be great. All right, good talking to you, Danny. You have a great one, and I'll at you later on down the log, I guess. I am going to ask if I have missed anyone for check-ins or comments. I'm at 49 check-ins. I'd like to have at least one more check-in or make it 50. So if I've missed anyone for check-ins or comments, please call KJ4WZM or Net Control.
Net Control. Net Control. Foster 4, Bravo Delta Mike. Jim over in Taylor's. Negative and negative tonight.
4, RQO, Kilo, Kilo 4, really quick operator. Cody down here in Cleveland, Georgia. Negative and negative.
Heresy. Evening, Daniel, Kilo 4, Romeo, Oscar, Whiskey, K4ROW, Richard and Greenville. No traffic, no round table. Good to hear you.
November 4, L-E-I, like Mike's eating ice cream, K-N-4, Lima, Echo, India. Jim here in Tacoma. I'll be negative and good evening to everybody on the net.
Hi, folks, sir. That would like to recognize KL4BDM. That is Jim and Taylor's. KK4RQO. That is Cody in Cleveland, Georgia. K4ROW, Richard in Greenville. And KN4 likes eating ice cream. Jim and in Tacoma. I like that. Jim, that's pretty funny. All right, any other check-ins or have I missed anyone for comments, please call KJ4WZM or Net Control. So thank y'all for checking in with me. That is great. I definitely appreciate it. If you give me a second, I'll type up my net report. I got 53 check-ins for tonight. 4WZM, now securing the Blue Ridge 2 internet, but sir, thanks for checking in. We will now return the repeater back to normal amateur use. 73s to everybody, and good night.
NUE, KI4LCI.
4NUE, hey Andy, how are you tonight, sir?
Something that I was going to tell you when you signed that last time we talked two or three nights going to round 120, 130, somewhere in that range. We was talking about those repeaters over Clemson University. From over the Derrick Camp at Liberty, you might be able to work them from over there. Because those repeaters aren't up as high as a lot of repeaters are. They're just up on those buildings go with Clint's.
As soon as I get done with this quarantine, I'm going to go up there and check it out and see what I can do. I can hit Jack's for Peter. Not a problem. I talk with him quite frequently, actually. But I can hit Long Mountain, Glassy, Caesar's Head, Sassafras, and Jack's for Peter's. But I have never tried the Clemson, and depending on what's going on with the weather, I can get Marietta pretty good. But if I drop below 10 watts, Marietta's out.
Peters, you just mentioned one thing in common. They're high up on mountains. Those over Clemson, I don't know which building's over there, but they're on top of those buildings. It's kind of like the 9-7 machine that Anderson Club has down in downtown Anderson. It's on that hospital building down there. And that can't begin to compete with the 7-9 machine that's on Sassafras. There's just a big difference in elevation.
Well, I'll try it, and I'll give you a shout-out next time I get up to that location, see if I can catch you on the air. But my daughter went up there today. She went down to check on the cabin, and I talked with her for a little bit, and Black Bear is back. I mean, I knew he was in the area. He's been marking the cabin up pretty good, but from what I heard from her and her friend, he's definitely in the area. So I gotta watch out for him because he's a pretty big boy.
One thing about you talking about those repeaters at Clemson, I can hear them here, but up to this point, I've never been able to get into them from this location here either. Just like with Jack's repeaters, I can hear them when they're transmitting and when they ID, but as far as getting into them, it's like Jack's machines. I can hear them when they ID, but there's no getting into them from my home location here. It won't happen.
Next time I'm up there, I'll just see if we can make contact. And if you want to mess around and try to play around on the Clemson repeater or try to make contact, I'll just set up the crossband repeater and you just crossband over there and see. Let me see if I can make contact with them first. But is your handy guy is it a dual band or is it just 2 meter?
Yeah, for LZI, I got a few here. The only multiband HC I got is one I bought brand new in 06, and that's a T98. But you can't do a lot of talking on high power because you'll have to have it hot as a devil and you won't be able to hold it as well as it'll fog up, and the battery pack will go down in pretty quick order. I can take one of these older HCs I got that's ancient, as long as they're all working in order, and I can talk hours at a time on them, but they ain't been made in decades. Whether it's a ICOM IC028T or a realistic 202 or 404, they ain't been made in ancient long time.
My cousin's up there on the hill, and he's an amateur call. KO4QLG, that's his call sign. And I mean, if you want to mess around with repeaters over toward the Clemson side, I mean, it wouldn't take much. I'll just move the crossband repeater up there where his shop is, And, I mean, long as he's there in the shop to be the station monitor, I mean, you just make a shout out to him and put it in crossman repeat and see what you can do, if that's what you want him to do. And definitely we don't have any problem hitting Jack's machines up there. But that would not be an issue if you wanted to, you know, I just set it up there at Chris's shop, and because he's right on top of a hill too. And he just, like I said, long as he's in the shop during the day or whatever, you just jump on Clemson or Jack's repeater and catch up. If that's what you want to do, just let me know.
KI4LCI, it's just you got to understand, though, from my location. I can hear those. That's just like two or three days ago when I heard your cousin talking with Jack on there, and they were talking about 20-meter DX. I can hear them, but as far as getting into them from here, it won't happen. It just won't happen, because I'm literally down, like I've explained to others, down in the bottom of a hole, and with all these leaves on these hills around me, it ain't going to happen. More so on the UHF side than the VHF side. That's why when you had that question that he had about UHF, goes, I'm right here where I'm at, especially with UHF. This is a prime example of it.
Okay. Well, I, you know, just going to offer, and, you know, if that's the direction you want to go with it, or if you ever, you know, want to just try to see if there's emergency contact or something. But I'm pretty sure that if you're in with the EOC there in Pickens, if you know a couple of the guys downstairs, I'm sure they'd cross band repeat for you if you ask them. I know y'all do a lot of EOC stuff up there, but that would be worth checking into as far as, you know, a dire emergency or something. But I just wanted to offer. But how's your foot doing, Andy?
Well, my foot's a lot better now. I'm capable of driving. You're talking about DOC. Our meeting's this coming Tuesday evening out of DOC, too. What I was hoping, you know, your cousin would spread it out some, you know, not just stay on Jack's repeater all the time. How come he don't never get up here on this and then?
I've got two cousins there on the hill. One of them is KO4QLG and KY4AO. So, KY4AO is Steven, and Jack is Steven's Elmer. So, Jack is always, you know, they're pretty close. Because Jack's been training Steven for a little over a year now, I guess. So I guess they've developed a relationship, and he stays in contact with Jack during the day. And when he's not on Jack's repeater, he's up on HF trying to make contacts around the world. But the other cousin, Chris, he is about a mile away from him on top of the hill. And he very seldom, he'll talk if I put out a call for him and, you know, we want to talk between the two of us. But I'm not sure he talks much with anybody else. But that's, you got two individuals there that one stays on Jack's machine and the other one, he doesn't talk much at all. But, I mean, that's nothing wrong with that. It's just, I guess, just the way they are, the way they do. You know, we all got our habits or got our ways, I guess.
No, I'm like you say, don't talk much. How do people remember him? The KY4AO is the one that I heard 2 or 3 days ago when he and Jack were talking and they was working dickheads on 20 meters. Like I said, you know, in an emergency type situation, but for just normal stuff, I ain't going to worry about it, but I'm just making the point to you. You get on any of those repeaters over in that way, I can hear it here, but I can't get into it.
So I understand. It is pretty hilly there. I'm down at the deer camp. It's just geographically challenged for me, too, because it's just, it's on the side of a mountain, or at the base of a mountain, really. Some of the property goes up the side of the mountain, and then at the base of it is the 12-mile river. So there's certain areas, that most of the areas down there, actually, I don't have any cell phone coverage even. So if I get down to a bottle situation where I can't, you know, cell phone's really not going to do me any good. So I just went and got my license, and thinking that a handy talkie was just going to be the answer to everything. Well, it didn't take me long to learn. Geographically, the handy talkie struggles too. I mean, I know exactly where to go, where I need to stand in a couple of spots if I need to, but it just got so frustrating that I just said, okay, well, I need a solution for this. So I just put a crossband repeater up there. And that way I'm not struggling with the handy anymore. So if I get hurt or something, I can hit the crossband repeater and get some help if I got some kind of situation or something. But I definitely understand what you're saying, because the terrain up there is just, it just really affects any kind of, you know, propagation trying to get out. And it all just depends on where you are, and you're exactly right. It is a struggle.
Elsie, I've talked with you about cell phone coverage. I can go just down the road a ways or up the road a ways, and I can get cell phone coverage. But here at the house, you can forget that too, especially right now. And most all the cell phones that I'm aware of operate around 800 megahertz on up into the gigahertz range, and that's extremely short range, more short range than 70 centimeters is.
I think that with the cell phone issue where I am, it's that can be a little bit unnerving in the right situation, because I'm just so far off the road, the main road, that it can be an issue depending on what the situation is. But you know, last winter I fell in the river trying to check a trap line, slid down the bank, and the water wasn't that deep, but it was just so cold. And by the time I got to a flat spot in the bank where I could get up the bank, that water had just took all my energy. I didn't have anything else to give. So that kind of motivated me to go get my license, because the CB doesn't work at all. So, I mean, I had to do something, because cell phone just, you know, it's just worthless down there. So, yeah, I understand. But having no cell phone coverage, if you don't have an alternate means of communication, that can be, I mean, you got to really be careful and really try to pay attention to what you're doing, because you can't be haphazard when you're messing around with that river, because at certain times that that's a pretty violent river when the weather conditions are right.
Well, see, I've an idea. That's just like we was talking about cell phones. Well, we have to continue because of that to continue to keep a landline phone. But we all know how the landline phones are. Things a long distance where you can only call certain people around. I'm going to use Jack Norris, W4TWX, as an example. I can't call him on this landline phone here at the house. Why, I don't know. It considers that long distance. I can't get into his repeaters from here reliably. Now, I'll admit, if I had this HF antenna business straightened out, I could contact him on 3856, but I got inherent issues here, some of them being very expensive to fix, that I don't think I could afford to fix, like power lines being in the wrong place. And as a result, I can't keep an HF antenna up for too long a time for the risk of, because this power line out here has come down over the past, I guess, 30, 40 years twice. And if I have something under, guess what it's liable to do to this house? It might burn it down, and I can't take that kind of risk. KI4LZI.
KO4NUE for station ID. No, you're right. That's the, where you are is just a trifecta of problems sometimes because that mountain range, it just kind of funnels and got its own little weather system sometimes. And high winds and lightning, and when you get high winds up there, it's just super destructive. I mean, just horrible as far as tree damage goes. And when I first inherited the property at the deer camp, there's some trees that were on a portion of the power line up at the main road that I don't know how long they'd been on there, but there's a portion of the transmission line for the power that's just, I mean, I guess it's been dead for years because there's no homes or anything out there. But they were steady on the power line and no power on it. But I know I've got a lot of family up there on Whitmire Hill, and that weather can be a problem, a real big problem. I don't know what's safer, to be on top of the hill or at the bottom of the hill. It's like I said, it's just like it creates its own little weather system there, and it can get dangerous pretty quick, pretty violent, pretty quick.
Well, this power line I'm talking about that comes up through here, it feeds this whole valley back up through here, so that's part of the reason why it would be so expensive to try to redo, because it feeds this whole valley, not just here where I'm at, but on further up, and you'd have to be sitting on who knows what, and I just can't afford to do that, and plus, this is just it's a low area anyway. I've been up to Rocky Bottom many times, and of course, I've lived here most of my life here. The only other place I know that's worse than where I'm living here at is up at Rocky Bottom, below Sassafras Mountain. And it's a whole lot more of a hole, so to speak, with mountains and hills around it than what this here is. And communications are very difficult to do unless you say on one of those mountains right there above it, like Sassafras is, of course.
KO4NUE for station ID. All right, so Andy, I'm listening to this. So let me ask you. So here's a ham question for you. So the regulation says that if you have a radio that's going to transmit, then you need to be in control of that station to transmit. So I guess my question is, exactly what does in control mean? Does that mean you have to be with that radio when it transmits? And the reason I'm asking that is, if, so here's the question, if, the radio I have there is a Kenwood TVM71 crossband repeater, but it has a remote control on it to where you can take a handy talkie and send it a DTMF tone and put it in crossband repeat mode from wherever your location is. So if I put a station ID in the radio with your call sign, if you needed to crossband repeat for an emergency, would that be legal if you were 20 miles away? So in other words, you could get on the 70 centimeters, send a DTMF tone to the radio, put it in crossband repeat, and let that radio contact Jack's repeater or Caesar's head or whatever if you needed, you know, some kind of emergency comm. But I'm not sure if that's legal. But if we put your call sign in it and it will ID every 10 minutes with your call, is that considered being in control of the station?
Fortunately, I'm no RF lawyer. I got generalities of what I think is true, but I'm not certain myself. But I know of others who's done crossbanding before, and one thing I would tell you, even if you're doing it just for your own purposes, always tone both sides of that. And I know one person, he didn't intend to do it, but he did cause some interference. One person was crossbanding one time with an HT, and he was using a truck where his crossbanding radio was. He was picking up on a simplex frequency on 2 meters, then crossband repeating it back into 442-400, that's Mandel's repeater, and he forgot to disengage. And just by some chance, there was a couple of hams that happened to get on that 2 meter simplex frequency. And I started hearing it here for the longest. And luckily for me, I remembered hearing them on that simplex frequency myself. And I let Mandel know about it, and he said at that point in time we couldn't contact him. So Mandel had to shut the 442 repeater down until he got that crossband disengaged. That's the point I'm making. When you're doing this crossbanding, no matter who you're doing it for, be very, very cautious that you don't end up picking up something other else. Tone it on both ends when you're crossbanding. KI4LZI.
Exactly right. You're exactly right. So I do have a frequency that I do use on it that does not show up on repeater book as far as I've been able to find on the uplink or downlink. And I have monitored there for I don't know, a couple of days before I chose that frequency. But I usually do listen in for a little bit before I go to that freak, but I've never had an issue with it. But Andy, I usually, not that it matters, but I usually, when I put it in crossband repeat, it's no more than, you know, 50 or 60, maybe 70 minutes. That's about how long it takes me to run a trap line. And when I come back, I'll take it out of crossband so I can jump up on this repeater or jump up on Jack's repeater and talk with him for a little while, see how he's getting along. But no, I understand what you're saying, and you're exactly right. And I don't think I'm causing any issues. But yeah, there was some method to the madness as far as trying to choose that frequency. Because you're right, it could cause some problems. But anyway, you think about it, and I'll do a little research on what the rules and regulations are for a repeater. I think I know where that is in the FCC rule book, so I'll try to figure out what's what, and we'll talk about it, or you think about it, and if that's something that you are interested in doing for an emergency situation, then If it's a true emergency, none of that's gonna matter anyway. You do what you gotta do to try to get some help. But just understand what I'm saying is that if you have no other communication means, but you have the capability of sending a tone to that crossband repeater from your location, and having it crossband to 2 meters if you need help, then I will set the radio up to do that if you need it or if that's something you want to pursue. And just let me know is what I'm trying to say. But KO4NUE for station ID.
KI4LZI. Well, that's a couple of things I've learned from others crossband over the past 15 to 16 years. Whether you're doing it for yourself or somebody else, you better be super careful. Because you do that, this guy I'm talking about, he left his crossband in his vehicle home. And the next thing you know, if I hadn't been so active on the bands, I wouldn't have realized these people was getting on that 2 meter simplex frequency. And it was keeping Mandel's machine up for locked in constantly. It was. And you got to be real, real careful. And as I advised someone else over a year ago that was doing that a lot and carrying HT around with him on his home property, you better run it encoded both ways on the output and input, and you'll be less likely by doing that to get anybody else coming through your crossband repeat. They shouldn't be.
I'm saying this guy set the crossband repeater up and another operator was using it, and that affected Mandel's repeater. Is that what you're saying?
His mobile station was picking up where the crossband repeat was, both of those simplex frequencies. Both of those stations on that 2 meter simplex frequency, picking it up good and retransmitting it back through the 440 machine. And it was keeping it keyed up. You can't do like that. He didn't know, obviously, at the time. He should have crossbanded his, but I think since then he's learned that, though. Set tones on it. I'll get it right.
Basically a DCS tone, I guess that's what you're saying. I understand how that works. So that would keep somebody else from keying up his crossband repeater if they didn't have that DCS tone. But that would allow just him with his handy to access the crossband repeater and nobody else. So, yeah. Yeah, that makes sense. It makes a lot of sense. I didn't think about that, but that's a good idea, actually. But, yeah. All right, well, you think about it. Like I said, I'll offer it if you want me to set it up. And, especially this winter when ice, you know, the ice is so bad. But I got caught up there in that snowstorm last year. And at first it wasn't, you know, that big a deal. But when the ice started accumulating, I started hearing limbs falling around the cabin, and I just said, oh, man, this is not good, you know. Because I got some pretty big trees around that cabin. So I got in the truck and went up to the top of the hill and spent the last 4 or 5 hours in the truck till daylight came. But it gets a little hooky down on that river sometimes. It's a fun place to be, but you get hurt down there in a hurry too if you're not careful.
LZI. Well, for right now, we're just gonna, you know, we're not going to worry about doing it now, you know, as far as this you're talking about. But even for your own purposes, I was just offering that advice. Because I've witnessed that happening. And I would strongly advise anybody that crossbands like that. Tone it on the input where the signal goes into the crossband radio. I'd tone it that way going in. Then I'd tone it coming out both ways. Otherwise, you're leaving yourself open for any kind of interference or anybody else to come in. I know some people in the past have set up their own kind of little, what you might say, mini auto packs like that. I've never done it, but I've heard other people talk about it. And when you're doing just for your own protection, it's wise to tone it both ways just for your own liability protection as far as the FCC goes.
Yeah, I understand. I get it. So I'll check that out and see what I need to do because, like I said, there's two other operators up there on the hill. And they know it's there, and if they need to use it, they're licensed operators. They can go down to the cabin and turn it on. I mean, there's a little instruction book there that says, hey, this is how you put it, crossband repeat, and they can use their handies in an emergency. But that's what it's there for. So we'll talk about it later, but, you know, when the ice comes, that's this time of the year. Is, I don't think hurricane's that big of a deal, but the ice is just, the ice can be an issue up there. Because some of those roads up there, I'm not exactly sure where you are. I know where the deer camp is. And, It's just so remote that, I mean, it would take probably days for the county to get out there and clear the road so you could even, you know, get in or out. So, you know, just think about that. And I know you've been up there a long time and you know what to do, but I'm just saying that is an option because, in my opinion, Mother Nature's, she's changing a little bit, and weather patterns are different now. So you just let me know, and it's available if you if you would like to use it for emergency comms, and we'll set it up the way it needs to be set up. But I'm pretty sure I'm safe. I haven't heard anybody on the input or output, but you are right. A DCS tone would be even safer. But at any rate, all right, Andy. Well, I'm gonna cut it short. I'm gonna go get in bed. I'm pretty tired. I got a big week coming up, but I appreciate the QSO. And just let me know. And next time I go up to deer camp, would probably be as soon as this quarantine's over. I'm gonna head up there, and I'll see if I can make contact with you, and maybe meet you in town for lunch or something. But at any rate, all right, KO4 NUE, and I'll be clear on your final, Andy.
North of you, Liberty's south of me. I'm up here below this Lake Illinois up here at Table Rock State Park where I'm at. And the other station that Walt was talking to last night was eating on the other side of Table Rock from me. Up here at Table Rock, there's two sides of it. One part's in Greenville County, and the part that I'm at is in Pickens County. But the station he was talking to was in Greenville County, even closer to this repeater here than I am. Because that RV park up there is right directly under Caesar's Head. It is. Directly under it. KI4LZI.
You get to, can you hit Pickens County EOC from your location?
About Glassy Mountain.
Talking about the Pickens County Emergency Operations Center right there in at the county offices in Pickens.
LZI, to be honest, I'm not really sure. The simplex work we've done has been, the last simplex type thing we've done, we pretended that those repeaters up on Glassy Mountain was off the air. Some of us was at our home stations, some of us was in various parts of the county. Now, I could send a signal from here up to them on Glassy, but as far as actually sending it from here to that EOC there from where I'm at, I'm not really sure, to be completely honest. That's a simplex type situation I wish we would do, but to my knowledge, I don't recall we've ever done it, not certainly since the time I've been involved with it.
NUE KI4LZI. So, Andy, why don't you talk with Mandel and the next meeting y'all have there at the EOC, talk with the EOC operator there and tell him your situation and just let him know, hey, you know, if I don't have cell phone coverage and if an ice storm gets me blocked in, I mean, if you can reach Pickens County EOC with 2 meters or 70 centimeters, I mean, that's as good as a telephone call right there. I mean, they can dispatch from there, and they'll just take your call sign and put it there in the EOC, and you can get help that way. But you gotta know if you can reach them simplex to do that. And Mandel would be glad to talk with them about that, and I'm sure they'd be willing to help you too, or willing to try. But you are right, I think that would be a far reach for simplex, but especially if you're in a hole. But you know, Andy, I'm a member of the Thermal Belt Club up here in Tryon, And there's a couple of members in the group that live, I don't know, probably 8-10 miles from me. And we do Simplex from time to time. And we're going to start training in the group doing a Simplex net and actually not use the repeater one night on a check-in. Because we like to stay in touch with one another, especially in the case of a bad storm or something like that, you know. So we kind of sort of discussed, you know, in emergency situation, just monitoring and handling relays to get to, you know, somebody that can help or whatever. But it's just probably best practice to get all that worked out before there is a problem. And we're in the process of doing that in our club. But it takes a lot to figure all that out. But I know a couple of the guys at Pickens County EOC, and I don't think they'd have a problem with that at all. But that would be a far reach with Simplex. But I sure would figure something out, especially where you are.
Stay in here too much long, because I got to take my Anson KI4LZI, but me and Mandel can Simplex. I know one time when the telephone was out here, I think it's been so many years now, I don't remember if it was the landline service or the power line now. It's been so many years back. I got Mandel on a 2-meter Simplex, and he called it in, and we done that. What you're talking about is a good idea. I've got to grant you that, but I'm not the head. You know, I'm just one of the everyday Joes out here. Mandel and N4ARS, Thomas is the one, and it would be a good idea. I've got to grant you that, what you're talking about, but there's certain ones like Mandel, I can work him on Simplex from here, and WB4DPP, Cliff McLeod on 2-meter Simplexes. One or two around that I can work, but any that's on the other end of the county, though, unless we're high up, you can hang it up. And I'm going to have to go. If you're still here later, I might come back, but I got to go take my Anson. But I do like your idea about that, about Simplex for everybody. That is a good idea. KI4LZI.
LZI, KO4NUE. So, all right, so before you go, Andy, so the way me and a couple of members in the club have got that set up is we leave the radio on all the time, and the weather alert is turned on the radio. So if the weather alert tones the radio and it starts broadcasting a weather tone, then that's our cue that at that time we'll check in with one another and agree to continue to monitor the radio in case, you know, a tornado blows the roof off of their house. And I can get in the truck and go help them, or if the tornado blows the roof off of my house, they can come down here and help me after the storm. But what I'm saying is that has to be pre-discussed and a plan worked out so that everybody knows what to do. Now, when the National Weather Service clears the weather alert, then we'll check in and we'll take ourselves off of alert. But, you know, I mean, I'm not trying to be in your business or nothing, but, you know, you are in a pretty bad spot where you are, especially during ice. And if you got a couple of stations that you can reach on 2-meter that can get out, that's just as effective as a cell phone or landline. But I believe I'd work that out, because you could get in a situation in a hurry. But I mean, you know what you're doing. I'm not trying to get in your business. I'm just telling you what we've got worked out in our club and with a couple of members, and it works really nice once you practice it a couple of times. But KO4NUE, KI4LZI, have a good week, Andy. And it's KO4NUE, I'm clear.
We'll discuss it some more later. I do like the idea, but I got to go get that insulin. KI4LZI.
KO4NUE, W4DJW.
Yup, yup. Hey, Dave. It's KO4NUE.
Hey, I won't keep you, but just to let you know what they expect of you when they say that you need to be in control of your remote station. It's okay to have a station that's remote, but if one of the FCC officials was to walk up to you and say, turn that radio off right now, you have to be able to do that, right? You have to be able to stop it from transmitting. That's what they mean by in control of your station. If they walk up to you and say, turn it off, you have to be able to turn it off. You can't say, give me 10 minutes or give me 20 minutes to drive up there or give me an hour to drive up there. You got to be able to turn it off right then when they ask you to do it. It's that simple.
All right. So that's pretty clear. So if I'm assuming you've been listening to what Andy has been saying. So about 2 miles away from the deer camp is where the shop is, and there's a licensed operator there. His call is KO4QLG. So let's say there's a weather situation in that area. Well, both Andy and KO4QLG is going to probably be experiencing the same weather condition or the same storm. As long as KO4QLG could turn that radio off and still allow Andy to use it to cross band repeat out, that would be legal. But that would also mean that Andy and Chris would have to work that out so that they could meet that requirement. Is that correct? Am I correct in saying that?
In a roundabout way, yeah. I mean, you're able, if an FCC official walked up to you and says, turn it off, you just key it up until your buddy up there turn it off for you, and he'd turn it off, and it'd be done, and you would have met that requirement. But that is no longer meeting the definition of a remote station. Remote station is there's nobody there at the other end, right? So it's not really, and what you usually do, what people typically do for a remote station is they have a control radio. So they have the crossband repeat radio, and then they have a separate radio that's usually on a different band, but it doesn't have to be, but usually it is. And they can send control signals, control tones to the secondary control radio, and the control radio will receive those tones and take action. And the action will be to turn off that other radio. And that's what they mean by you're in complete control of the remote station. Because you have another ham radio operator up there at the deer camp, and that's no longer a remote station, right? As long as there's an operator there at the control point, you're golden, right? You don't have anything to worry about. And it's not even considered a remote station. But if he walks away, then it becomes and is still active and somebody can use it, then it becomes a remote station and you have to be able to turn it off remotely.
KO4NUE. Okay. So it doesn't. So basically, the FCC don't care whose radio it is. I mean, radio's radio, right? And if I let Chris use my radio, and him and Andy worked out a situation, okay, well, bad weather's coming, I'll be in the shop from 8 o'clock to 9 o'clock, up from 8 in the morning till 8 in the afternoon. You're right, I see what you're saying. That's no longer a remote station. As long as there is a licensed operator there with that radio, Andy could use that during that time. But when 8 o'clock at night comes and Chris leaves, that radio has to be shut down because nobody's in control of it at that point. Did I get all that right?